Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan. She's an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
A day past its deadline to reach a deal with the International Monetary Fund and other creditors, Greece is now officially in default. Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras put forward a proposal this morning for a budgetary overhaul to try to revive discussions on a new bailout plan, but his offer was rejected by EU officials. Now, all eyes are turned toward a referendum in Greece on Sunday that puts the question to voters whether or not they want their government to accept creditors' proposals, which means more bailouts in exchange for more austerity. A no vote most likely means a Greek exit from the European Union. Prominent economists like Joseph Stiglitz have recommended a no vote, saying there's no hope in continued austerity. President Obama said that a Greek default would have little impact on the U.S. economy. Still, many see this moment as a turning point on which the entire future of Europe hinges. Or, Christina, how important do you see the situation in Greece as?
Well, I think it's important for several reasons. I'll focus on one here. It really does bring into the conversation the problematic presence of supranational organizations like the IMF and even, in some cases, the World Bank in dictating to nations how to structure their economies. And so research, even though we've seen that research in real-world consequences has shown us that not only do austerity measures not work, but also that what economists call structural adjustment programs are dire to a nation's economy recovering. So it allows us to have this conversation about the realities and consequences of global capitalism in the 21st century, where people who do benefit actually consist of this small group of people who are the very same people that are asking Greece, for instance, to comply to measures that will actually worsen their economy.
After more than 50 years, the U.S. and Cuba will be opening embassies in each other's countries. President Obama will make the announcement about the embassy opening today, and Secretary of State John Kerry plans to travel to Havana when the U.S. embassy is ready to formally open its doors. The plan is to expand an office in Havana called the U.S. Interests Section into a full-fledged embassy. The U.S. recently removed Cuba from its list of state sponsors of terrorism, which was key to restoring full diplomatic ties. The economic embargo against Cuba remains in place, however, and the decision to reverse that lies with the U.S. Congress. U.S.-Cuba ties are likely to become a factor in next year's presidential elections. Obama expects the Cuba détente to be a central part of his foreign policy legacy. Well, Christina, the Cuba rapprochement seems to be moving very rapidly. How important is it for U.S.-Cuba relations to improve?
You know, I like to be cautious. Of course, it's very important that the countries to improve their relations, mostly for Cuban's sake. That includes giving Cuban Americans more space to assist their families on the island, expanding travel opportunities between both countries, assisting Cuba's tourist economy, to name a few different factors that would help. But I'm also cautious because history has shown us that American capitalism is very rapid and expansive. So I hope that we don't see Havana turn into another Cancun or another Costa Rica, where many white Americans have decided to colonize the lands of the native people there, which has in many ways made certain parts inaccessible to locals. And so I'm also thinking about the economy of Cuba. And I think we need to, again, learn the lessons from our past.
And finally, the Western Washington chapter of the Girl Scouts made waves when it returned a $100,000 donation this week. The organization received the funds with a major string attached. Quote, please guarantee that our gift will not be used to support transgender girls. If you can't, please return the money. So the Girl Scouts returned it and set up their own crowdfunding campaign to make up the loss of what would have been a third of their annual fundraising goal. With the messages, we welcome transgender girls and Girl Scouts is for every girl, the group has so far raised $250,000. The news comes on the heels of a Supreme Court decision to legalize gay marriage and the 46th anniversary of the Stonewall riots, which were started by two trans women and seen as the opening salvo of the LGBT rights movement. In contrast, the Boy Scouts of America has long had trouble accepting boys who identify as gay or transgender. Christina, is this story an indication of the growing cultural shift in the U.S. over LGBT rights?
I think among many of the other new developments that we've seen recently, we can definitely see the story as an example of this shift to accept and embrace people who identify as LGBTQ. I think it's important for even more nonprofit and for-profit entities to do the same. Now, it would be even better and more indicative of a real cultural shift if we saw more religious institutions, for example, accept and embrace LGBTQ communities. I do want to say, however, that while we're slowly becoming more progressive in terms of sexuality, I think it's also important to acknowledge that there's still some issues that we need to face, and there are some issues even within the LGBT community. So for instance, recently activists in Chicago staged a Blackout Pride protest in the Pride Parade, and what it did was really highlighted the kind of marginalization that people of color feel also within the LGBTQ communities, and the rates of violence against, for instance, trans people of color are insane. So I think while we need to look at these stories as examples of progress, at the same time, we also need to make sure that we focus on other issues that are going on as well that we need to discuss more.
And we will be continuing that conversation on Blackout Pride and other issues with Patrice Cullors later in the program. Thank you so much, Christina, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.